Yes, there are a lot of new faces, of course. I just want to thank God because of where I am right now. I bless him and he blesses me, and I love God. Amen. And I hope I do a good job. Okay, we're going to go to Romans 12, 2. I'm going to say it three times because Pastor always says it once and no one ever gets it. And I'm always saying 12, 2. 12, 2. Everybody there? Amen. Ready? Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is a good and pleasing and perfect. I kept thinking, what am I going to talk about? And then all of a sudden, God was just bombarding with all these things that I could talk about. And I said, wait a minute. There's only one thing I want to talk about. And so please help me, Lord. I come from a Catholic background. And if anybody's Catholic out here, they know that what I was taught was the God that I knew was a very angry God. And that if you sinned, you'd go to hell. I mean, that was just it. If you went to a different church, you stepped your foot in another church, that was a sin. And of course, when they said you sinned, of course you're going to go to hell. And I've always thought of God as an angry God. Where's my helper? Is he not here? Oh, he went to the restroom. Okay, I'll wait. Because he's gonna show you a picture that I saw about 20 years ago on my husband's wall. I was going out with him at the time, and I just want you to see this picture, and I want you to tell me what you see when you see this picture. You gonna do it for me? Walk that way. Just walk that way so everybody can see it. Go back to make sure Mike sees it. Stop it. And go back this way so everybody can see it. Okay, Harriet, what do you see? What do you see, Pastor? Okay, when I saw this picture, because of where I was, when I saw this picture hanging on the wall, the first thing I did was, oh my, that, I said, honey, that's sacrilegious. Because my mind, somebody was making fun of God. That's what I thought. Because God was not a happy, no. He was that mean God that was going to, you're going to go to hell. And I thought, oh my, I said, you have to take that down. That's sacrilegious. I really, truly believe that it was sacrilegious. And he says, you don't think God, you don't think he laughed? And I thought, I didn't think that God would laugh. Thank you. I didn't think he would laugh. And he said, of course he did. And of course I started thinking, yes, he was man. He went through all these things that we go through. Heartache, I mean, Lazarus died. He was crying. That was his friend. He was tortured, tormented. He was the devil came to him and said, bow down before me and I'll give you all this. He was tempted. He did all those things. And of course, I kept thinking of the God that I knew, the angry God. And when I was 23. Keep thinking that this is the angry God that I know. I was 23. I was married. I had a 3-year-old son, and I was about to get divorced. And I was pregnant. I was going to school to become a nurse, and I became pregnant. And because of where I was in my life, I decided not to have that baby. So I had an abortion, and I had to carry that with me forever and ever, it seemed like. 10 years. 10 years went by. And I decided that I was going to go to confession. And I was going to confess my sins to the priest. And of course, when I went to Catholic school, the priests were holy, holier than I was. The nuns were holy, holier than I was, could ever be. And of course, when you go to confession, I couldn't confess to God myself. I had to get an intercessor. Speak for me. You go to God because I'm not worthy to go to God myself. So I go into the confessional. It's not the confessional that I used to know where you could hide, you know? Oh, yeah. No. It was open. I mean, it was, you walk into a room as big as this, and there's the priest right in front of you. And who is the priest but the priest that was there at St. Anne's, Father O'Callaghan? No, who was the mean one? Was it O'Callaghan? Oh, my God, I was like, oh, Lord, please, I have to confess to this guy. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I said, okay. And then I was just overwhelmed, and I just started crying. And I went down at his feet, and I said, please ask God to forgive me for what I've done. And he said, you know what he said? He said, I've always wanted somebody to do that. That's what he said to me. He wanted somebody, I guess, that, I still remember those words. And I said, oh my God. So that was 10 years, right? I was 23, now 33. And still, I had that condemnation, Didn't think God had forgiven me. And so I go to an Acts retreat. And I go to the Acts retreat, still thinking about God. God is still that angry God, and I'm going to hell. And so I go into another confession to tell Jesus that I'm a sinner, and please forgive me. And I go in there, and I do the same thing. I'm just beside myself, crying. I was so upset. And this priest tells me, you know, we are God. When you confess to me, I am God. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. I couldn't believe that he said that to me. I couldn't believe it. And so he says, he's forgiven you. You know, say your Hail Marys, your five Hail Marys, and you're good. You're good. And I'm thinking, all this time, now this is now another 10 years has gone by, so that's 20 years of me condemning myself. And then I realized that God did forgive me, but I didn't forgive myself. That's what we do. We start condemning ourselves. We condemn ourselves more than the devil does. He just watches you. Go ahead, condemn yourself. I don't have to do anything. I can just sit back here and relax and watch you condemn yourself. That's what we do to ourselves. We've got to stop it. We have to stop doing that to ourselves. God loves us. God wants us to. Do you remember when you ran to your dad or your mom or your grandmother, whoever that you love so much, and you'd run up to him and you'd kiss him and hug him? That's what God wants us to do, because God loves us. He loves us just the way we are. We're perfect in every way, according to God. I can stand up here and tell you about this. 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I could not have said what I just said to you guys. No, I was, until I came here to the house of manna that I love so much. Really, truly, I'm able to worship God and love God and know that God loves me. You know, I used to call these people that did that Bible thumpers. Bible thumpers. And they'd say, let me pray on it. And I'd say, are you kidding? pray on it? And I used to make fun of those people, and now I'm one of those people. A Bible-thumping Jesus freak. That's what I am. And I love it. I love every minute of it. Do not condemn yourself. Don't do it to yourself. Love yourself the way God loves you. You have to love yourself the way God loves you, right? Right. Right. Oh, Lord. And there's another thing that you've got to do. When God tells you to do something, you better do it. Obey him every time. Because if you don't, he's going to say, okay, you think you can do it better? Be my guest. Be my guest, you do it. And it doesn't work out. We have to stand firm. When Pastor Marty gives you a word, believe it. You can hear me saying, I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your word because I believe it. He says it because God said it to him to give it to me. And I'm standing on the word. I'm still standing on the word for 25 years for this one thing, and it's going to happen because I know it is. And when it happens, I'm going to come here and tell you guys about it. I know it's going to happen. But Pastor Marty has given me two more things that are going to happen in my life. I accept it. I believe it. And if the other people don't believe, I have enough belief for everybody in this room. I think I'm done. Amen. Thank you.
Wonderful job. Thanks. Wonderful. Miss Sylvia and Miss B came to the church when we were at the hotel, and they used to sit in the very back, and you know, your pastor used to wear earrings and had a tendency to go dancing down the aisles to try to get people involved in you know, praise and worship. And I would see B and Sylvia like, oh, my God, he's doing They didn't know.
B said, if he pulls out a snake, I'm out of here.
That's true. That's true. What the Lord had told me to do when we opened up the church was to, let's encourage people, unlock them, and let's get them into their destiny. Now, what we also had to do is break off a religious mindset. Religious mindset. We all come from different religious backgrounds. All different religious backgrounds. Religion, whatever the case may be, whatever church you've been at, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, as long as you worship and believe that he is the Son of God, died, resurrected on the third day, now sits at the right hand of the Father, we're family. We're family. Whether you sit in any other church, any denomination, we're family. So the Lord had told me, he says, just continue to invite family into a setting where we can eat together. We're eating of the word. Now, time went on, and all of a sudden, Sylvia comes up to me and says, can I put a candle in a little cross somewhere with the picture? I said, bring it. Remember that, David? Bring it. And she would come with her candle, and she'd come with her little cross. Still have the cross at home. And she would set it on this red cloth in this table in the corner, remember? And there was one picture on there. And I was, oh, okay. So I walked up to it, and I started prophesying over the picture. Well, that wall right there has become now the culmination of people bringing their pictures of their loved ones. So many testimonies of people that have brought pictures of a loved one that needed to get saved, healed, delivered, set free, and has transpired. It has happened. And we've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And it started because God got a hold of her in a whole different way. Whole different way. So then we transition out of the hotel. We come here, and I said, okay, I like to have some space because I want to get loud. And we got blessed with these speakers. We got blessed with some music. We got blessed. And all of a sudden, I was like, yeah, just turn it up, David. Just turn it up. I said, I don't know about these people. They're just going to go crazy on me. They're going to leave or whatever. Next thing I know, I hear someone say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Am I right, B? Am I right? Thank you, Lord. Everybody knows. And if I would get someone up here to imitate her, she would do a wonderful job. But what I'm saying is that she has come a long way in her relationship with Jesus Christ to understand who she is. And if any of you got your toes stepped on because she was talking about the rosary, this and that, stop it. Stop it. Her testimony is her testimony. That's how she associated God, and she did the steps that she was taught. Then she comes here, and I said, "Don't, whatever steps you want to do, you do. Huh? Whatever steps you want to do, you do. Just worship Jesus and know that he loves you." And I began to see growth, change, became one of the ministers of the house, doing so much for the house. And now she is ministering to you, the word of God. That, you know, that's a blessing.
Amen.
That is a blessing. Amen. So I celebrate you and I honor you. Thank you for your obedience. But more importantly, I thank you for your worship and your heart unto God. Because in everything that you do as you do it unto him. And it shows.
Yes.
So we thank you and we love you. Come on, give her a hand clap. Wonderful job. I want to encourage you, if my ministers and leaders in the house know that if I tell you to stay ready, because you're going to be called up next. When that is, we don't know. We don't know. Somebody was just given the opportunity just to sing and then turned into drums and guitar and singing. We got more people involved. But it was a blessing to see the growth. There's many preachers in here, many. I don't even want to get started on prophets that are in here. People that have a ministry of deliverance and healing that sit in this house. But some of them don't know it. Some of them don't know it. We got street evangelists that sit here. Some of them know it, others don't. My question to you is, do you know what God has in store for you? Do you know who God is in your life? Before we close tonight, I want to ask you to open up your heart, and open up your spirit. The Spirit of the living God begins to move in the atmosphere of believers, but also moves even if a believer is not around. You understand that? But if the Spirit of God is moving, what is he moving for and what is he moving to? Don't you ever ask that question? If God is everywhere, he's all-knowing, what is the purpose of him being in your vehicle, in your business, your marriage, your school? What is the purpose of him being just when it's just you? As you're walking down the hall, things get a little bit difficult and uncertainty sets in. What if God is just coming to share with you his love and how much he loves you just because he loves you? Do you understand that? The Spirit of God moves into a place to let you know how much he loves you and how much he appreciates you because you're his child. Regardless of what we do, how we mess up, how we act, you're his child. If you equate God as the Father that you have here in your life, that you can see every day, the Father that's in heaven will never hurt you, speak ill of you, never set you aside, put you away or hide you, but he'll love on you because he knows how wonderful you are. Sometimes you have a tendency to recoil back into a place in a season of your life where you don't quite understand what your next step is, and you feel like there's too much ambiguity of what I'm supposed to do. God wants me to let you know for who you are. He sees a diamond that's in the rough, and you're about to begin to be exposed for who you really are. He's given you creativity, and in that creativity, he's going to bless you. If you have an attorney, get the attorney, because there's a patent that's going to be done. Things are going to begin to move in the era. Here's what I see. I see something being put together. As it's being put together, it's going to take off even before you even bring it to the table to sell, you're going to have calls for it to be sold. And you're going to ask to keep a percentage of it, and they're going to willingly give it to you. Willingly give it to you. Don't worry about the finances and how you're going to get this attorney to write, keep the patents for you. But it's coming to you because he knows your heart. Knows your heart. God is moving in this season, in this hour. And he's going to get the wealth that has been stored up for the wicked. He's going to give it to the righteous. To the righteous. There's a shift that's taking place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release right now, Father God, the divine connections that only you can bring together, God. And I thank you for this precious young man of God. But I thank you for his heart, his spirit, his intellect, and his creativity. Father, I thank you that you are aligning everything in its position for it to be fulfilled in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you in advance. It is so. And every child of this room said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Play on, man. Play on. Come on, man. So get me going. Get me going. Can I walk with you a little bit? Can I walk with you? Hallelujah. Baby, will you walk with her as well, please? This is my wife. This is my wife. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you.